Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that and Pastor Backus loved films, and certainly in this and season known as SIFF, the Seattle International Film Festival, that this is and something of interest. I too enjoy films, although I have a lot of my ones that I continually watch again, some that are getting a little long in the tooth, as they say, but they're still good. For me, the baseball season will not really begin. It does not begin until I hit play on Field of Dreams. It has turned out that over the last quarter century, surprisingly, the number one tourist attraction in the state of Iowa is a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield near Dyersville in Iowa. It's a great story. I love that. I mean, it's just fun. But the other one that really is at the top of my list, The Natural. Isn't that a great movie? I've seen it lots and lots of times, and I know what's going to happen with every single pitch in that thing. I can quote the dialogue. It's just crazy, and yet I'm still on the edge of my seat. I just, you know, it's just a wonderful story, and I just can't wait until there he is. I mean, Wonder Boy is shattered in pieces, and he picks up, the substitute bat that he helped to make with the Bat Boy and all of this stuff. And it's just a tremendous film. And, of course, he gets up there and hits the home run, hits it out of the park. The lights start to, you know, explode because they've been hit by the ball way up there in the upper levels. And the ball just keeps on going. It's just great. One of my friends had the audacity to tell me, well, if you read the real story, that's not the way it turns out. What? How could such a thing be? That's sacrilege of some sort. So in this day and age of Kindle, I am now prepared to go and sulk someplace while I read the story by Bernard Malmud. We'll see how this turns out. Endings are important. They really are. I mean, they not just bring a conclusion, but they tie up everything that story is leading to. I don't suppose the film would have been as popular if it had turned out a different way, but as we know, it works great the way it is. Each of the gospel writers, in their own way, has a different way of telling the same kind of a story. In Matthew, at the end, as the resurrected Christ appears to them, he leads the disciples back to Galilee and up onto a mountain. We're not sure which one. Up onto a mountain, perhaps where he had his sermon on the mount, to begin again. And this time he gives them the Great Commission: go into all the world. Mark is particularly interesting. He ends, apparently, his first, the original ending, ends with nobody quite believing what was going on. But they are told to return to Galilee, and there they will see him. As if to say that the ministry that began in Galilee for Jesus Christ is now being handed off to the disciples. Well, as you know, some people couldn't stand that ending either. So some have been added along the way. There's a shorter ending of Mark and a longer ending of Mark, but they all seem to sort of point to this thing, this common sense. John, is an interesting one. He completely does it in a different way. They're out fishing. The fishermen, the disciples, have decided to go back to their old life. And while they are there fishing all night long and catching nothing, along comes Jesus, standing on the beach, and invites them to receive this wonderful catch of fish. And there they are on the beach, and this is where Jesus speaks directly to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. There are, of course, and other things that John wants to say about the importance of believing these things, but the story itself ends with this kind of a bringing Peter back into the fold and making sure that he understands that he is forgiven, but that he is also given a task. So we come back to Luke, good old Luke. Luke is one who has written both Luke and Acts, and they become in some way in volume one and volume two of the same thing. And if just to make sure that we get the point, the ascension is found at the end of volume one and at the beginning of volume two. If you look at the first lesson, which unfortunately for editorial decisions is not found in your bulletin, but it will be found in the Bible that's in your pews. So, you know, if you want to, it's there. And some of the details of these two stories of the ascension told by the same person seem to differ, they both point to the same thing. There's a reason for the ascension. The ascension that took place in 40 days after Easter, so it always takes place on a Thursday, last Thursday, 3 days ago, and 10 days before the day of Pentecost. Why in the world would this happen like this? Well, we can come up with all kinds of explanations and try and explain this. Did it really happen? Could it have happened like this? And the more we try and explain things, sometimes the sillier it gets. I remember an explanation that Jesus really didn't ascend. But while they were up there on the mountain, the fog began to close in. And they could no longer see Jesus very clearly. And while they're sort of trying to pierce through the thick fog there, and Jesus raises up his hands to bless them, he steps back and falls off the back of the cliff, and he's someplace in some ravine, but the disciples don't know it, so all they guess is, we guess he went to heaven. We have no idea. But what we do know is this. This is where Jesus belongs. This is God. And as long as Jesus continued in that form of a human being, he can only be in one place at a time. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work any other way. Jesus knew this, that in order to fulfill the mission, he needed to leave. He needed to take another place, and Paul graciously and wonderfully explains in this wonderful text in the second lesson that Jesus has been received and sitting at the right hand of God, which we confess each and every week. That Jesus is in his rightful place, but we are not left alone. We have been given the mission and also the gifts. We may have to wait, according to the story, until next week to see how this exciting story continues, how it's all going to play out. But we have the promise, even at this point, that God will give to us everything we need to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. That this one who walked the earth for 3 years, showing and demonstrating what that mission was, now entrusts it to simple people like you and I, who even with questions, as certainly as the disciples continued to have and questions, can be sure of this, that God will show us and give us exactly what we need to fulfill the mission of God. One of the reasons why I love being an interim is that it has forced me to look precisely at this. If you've seen my office, you know what has happened. You can imagine at every other place, it has continued to just absorb stuff. It becomes the black hole of the universe that sucks everything that is not attached into that office and becomes piled up in one pile after another. And I would oftentimes just say, so what do I need to do to get to the next and Sunday? And I'd get through that and Sunday and I'd say, well, that was fun. The next week I'd start it all over again. But being an interim has forced me to ask, what is the mission? What is it that God wants us to do in this particular place? I have to say, it's fun in some ways to go to a synod assembly. You see all of these people from the places I've served. I've been in the South End, the North End, and all over, and it's just a real treat because you see that these and places still continue to have joy in what they are doing, and you see the people that they have called there, and you say to yourself, this has been really good. It is good because this is the mission that they have found in their own place. And Queen Anne, too, has a mission for this place. And we will continue to look for it and to search and to think and to pray and to reflect. But we can be sure of this. We are not alone. And God gives us everything we will need to fulfill that. We do not have to look around and say, well, gee, if only we had this, or if only we had that. God doesn't need that. God says, I'll give you everything you need. The ascension is the handoff, the passing of the baton, as it were, to the church at large. It's not surprising that Luke names the second volume of his work the Acts of the Apostles. Well, we can say it's the Acts of the followers of Jesus Christ. That's us. We too have work to be done, and God intends to bless us in that work. Amen.